would be one of the strangest Mother's Day messages you've heard, because I'm giving it, number one. Yes, thank you, Donnie. We'll be talking about a prostitute today, and that's probably not on the normal range of Mother's Day messages. Before we get there, I want to read out of Psalm 113. And Psalm 113 says, "Praise, O servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to the going down, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, His glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God who dwells on high, who humbles Himself to behold the things that are in the heavens and in the earth? He raises the poor out of the dust and lifts the needy out of the ash heap, that He may seat him with the princes of His people. He grants the barren woman a home like a joyful mother of children. Praise the Lord." Let us pray. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His word, and may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in Thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. Well, that psalm just reminded me of mothers, a lot of what they do. The first couple verses talk about praising the name of the Lord. And I know when we bring children into this world, no matter what, man, we just can't help but be thankful and grateful for those children. I'm talking about when they first come into the world. The next couple verses talks about the glory of God and the mercy of God. Much like mothers, they show great glory and mercy on their children. Those are the later years. But it gets even better. At the very end of this, it talks about God's grace. And in verse 7, it says, "He raises the poor out of the dust and lifts the needy out of the ash heap." And I think sometimes that's our mothers showing us God's grace. God shows us grace, and mothers show us grace as well. Sometimes lifting us out of the places that we've wandered into and put ourselves in. Amen? Many of us have come from a place where our mothers had to pull us out of that ash heap, and we're grateful and thankful, I know that. Today, if you would turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2. And as we go there again, this is just a very odd story, but I want to get through the story and explain why we're talking about a prostitute on Mother's Day. And so I wanted to go there, and I wanted to talk about going here because this person has a lot of characteristics of mothers. And then I thought, wait, a prostitute doesn't have characteristics of mothers that we want to be. So I thought I'd get on with the story. But before I get there, I want our young people, that'd be our teenagers and below mostly, sometimes in the 20s or whatever. But our young people, I want them to know, for the children that are here today, God has given specific instructions. The Ten Commandments. Number 5, for you children out there, number 5. It says, "Honor your father and your mother." Now, kids always ask a great question. Whenever you tell them to do something, what's that question they always ask? Why? God knew that. God created children, and God knew that. So He answered that question, and God said, here's why. Here's why you do that. "That your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God has given you. Honor your father and your mother, children." And I guess for us older children, we must do that as well. And there's a promise attached to that, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God has given. Translation for you young people: do what your parents say or they'll kill you. Very interesting. Ten Commandment number 6. God also made parents and knew what they would do. And God put in the Ten Commandments number 6 right after that: you shall not kill. Okay? Parents, do not kill your children. They are a blessing. They are a gift. Amen? All right. This already is just starting out to be an odd Mother's Day with this stuff right here. But we haven't even got to the good part. Joshua chapter 2. We're going to talk about a prostitute. And it begins in verse 1 and says, "Now Joshua, the son of Nun," and that's N-U-N, if you're listening, not N-O-N-E, not no children, but Nun. sent out two men from Acacia Grove to spy secretly, saying, go and view the land, especially go to Jericho. Sometimes you may be looking for a home. You're thinking, I want to look in this area, but especially go to this neighborhood, for we're really interested in that. And he sent out the two spies, and they went and they came to a house of a harlot named Rahab, and they lodged there. And I just thought, how interesting. They go into a town, and it's like the only place they could find was a house of a harlot. But God had a plan for that. Sent him to the house of a harlot named Rahab. They lodged there. And then the king of Jericho was told, hey, behold, they have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country. So he was told, men have come here, and they're spying our city, and they're checking us out. So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, I guess he knew that they were hiding out there, and said, bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all of our country. He said, bring them to me. Then the woman took the two men and hid them. That's not one of the characters I'm talking about for mothers to be lying and deceitful. We'll get there in just a minute. But she had her purpose for doing that. She took the two men and hid them, saying, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And it happened as the gate was being shut, when it was dark, that the men went out. Where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them. In other words, she's saying, hurry up and get out of town and go look for them. Stop looking here. Go out there and look for them, and you may find them if you hurry up. But she had brought them up to her roof, hidden them in the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order on the roof. Then the men pursued them by the road to the Jordan, to the fords. And as soon as those who pursued them had gone out, they shut the gate. So those men chasing the two spies went out, and they closed the gates back to Jericho. In verse 8, it says, now before they lay down for the night, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, and I found this interesting for a harlot to say this, but she said, I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. And that would come back to be something they would use as well. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water in the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. So she knows that. She knows the history of what they did. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. So she said, because of what you guys had done, everybody became scared. The boldness was gone out of them. They had no more courage. But in verse 12, this is where I want us to start turning our attention and understanding why I want to talk about this and what this young lady does. It says, now therefore I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you also will show kindness to my father's house, and give me a true token, and spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all they have, and deliver our lives from death. So here's a prostitute. She's hiding these two men. The king comes and said, hey, turn these guys over to us. She says, oh, they went that way. Go chase them now and you can find them. And then she hides them back here. But in the midst of that, she knows there's a God. And I want to stop there and remind us, no matter what we're doing and what sin we are in and committing and have done, when we know God, there's always that pull back to say, man, bring me back to God. Eric just mentioned many mothers have spent time and time on their knees, and grandmothers have spent time on their knees praying for their children and their grandchildren, for their safety, for their return, for their health, for their witness, for their walk with the Lord. And she knows that these men are from God. And she says, swear to me by the Lord. And she knows that she's done good for them. And now she's saying, I want you to do this and protect me. I want you to protect me and my household and my father and my father's house. Now, interesting thing, she's not a mother. But I thought this is what mothers do at times when things are rough. And mothers plead. They plead to God and say, God, please. You know what I'm going through. God, you see my child there. Would you please heal my child? God, you know my child is wandering in the darkness. You know my child is in places he or she shouldn't be and doing things that he or she should not be doing. And you find mothers on their knees praying day in and day out. God, you know what my children have done. God, would you please just let them know that you are there? They've been into this. They've been into that. They have robbed people. They have beat people. They have killed people. They've done drugs. They've stolen money. They've cheated the companies they work for. They've cheated on their wives and husbands. They have abused their children mentally, sexually, physically, emotionally. God, still, would you reach down and touch them? Would you show their presence? And that's why I chose this story, because here's a prostitute praying those things, but those are the things that mothers do for their children. I watched a movie last night, Courageous. It's been out for a while, and we have it on DVD. And it's one of those movies that came from Facing the Giant and Flywheel, Fireproof. And I watched Courageous last night. And at the very end, it had some bloopers and those type of things, which were hilarious. So I love watching those. And then I saw something that said, about my father. What's that about? I clicked on it. And I thought maybe tell different people that were in the movie about their fathers. But it told about one lady that was in a previous movie of theirs, in Facing the Giants, and it talked about her father. Her father was an alcoholic. Mother and father couldn't get along. They finally broke up. They tried to stay together and broke up when she was 11 years old. And she said, that breakup pushed me to Christ. Man, I went down to such and such church down the street, and I spent all my time there, and I prayed, and I got saved, and I knew the Lord, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed. And she was a little older, and it was an Easter Sunday. And she'd been asking her dad for several days leading up to that, Dad, would you go to church with me? Dad, would you go to church with me? And the dad always had an excuse. And she came out Easter morning, and she's dressed ready to go, looking very nice for Easter service. And she said, Dad, there's not much time. Will you go to church with me? And for whatever reason, that father said, I'll go this one time and then you leave me alone. And he went. And he sat in back. And they sang a song at the end of service. If none go with me. And that just pulled at him and pulled at him. Well, the father ended up going back to service. He gave his life to Christ, walked up there. And he was a kind of a grizzly old man. And walked up there one Sunday and told the pastor, I can't do this anymore. I'm ready to give my life to Christ. And the pastor said, if this man, with everything he's been through, can do it, why can't you guys? That guy happened to be a man in the movie playing a part of just a school person and Facing the Giants, a man that walked along the hallways praying over the lockers. And that's a true story of his salvation. Not a guy that grew up a preacher's kid or always in church or whatever. A man that grew up an alcoholic that now is serving the Lord. And I think with this prostitute, as she realizes these are men from God, sent from God, her character changed as well. You know, Jesus hung out with prostitutes and tax collectors and all those dirty people. The places that some people think we can't go near there. we may get dirty with them. So the men answered her in verse 14, said, our lives for yours. If none of you tell this business of ours, our lives for yours. And it shall be when the Lord has given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with you. Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall. She dwelt on the wall. And she said to them, get to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you. Hide there for 3 days until the pursuers have returned. And then after those 3 days, you can go your way and you will be safe and free. So the men said to her, we will be blameless of this oath of yours, which you have made us swear, unless when we come into the land, you bind this line of scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. And unless you bring your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your father's household to your home, that's where they will be safe. So she tied the scarlet cord there in her window where they could see. It says, so it shall be that whoever goes outside the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we will be guiltless. And whoever is in your house, his blood shall be on our head, if a hand is laid on them. And if you tell this business of ours, then we will be free from your oath, which you made us swear. According to your words, so be it, she said. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet cord in the window. They went to the mountain, stayed 3 days. The pursuers returned, and they went back. The two men returned, descended from the mountain, and crossed over, and they came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and told him all that had befallen them. And they told Joshua, truly the Lord has delivered all the land into our hands. For indeed all the inhabitants of the country are faint-hearted because of us. And remember, she told him, everyone is afraid because of you. And he went back and reported that same thing. So the story goes that they went back to Jericho. And they marched around the city walls and they blasted the trumpets. And they sent people in and said, go into this household and bring those people out that they may be safe because we made this thing. Mothers tend to do that. They tend to spend time seeking God and praying, God, would you please protect and be with my children? God, would you reach down where I can't reach them and maybe give them a little smack? Could you do that? A God smack, so to speak. And in Joshua chapter 6, verse 17, it says, now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction, it and all who are in it. Not just most of those people, but the city and all who are in it. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are with her in her house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. You know, God says sometimes it's the prayer of the praying mother. It's the prayer of the praying wife that saves those that are lost. And I know today that some of you are very tired. Your knees are sore from being on them so long praying for children. Praying for their salvation. Praying for their return to the Lord. Praying for their marriages, praying for their children, praying for their health. Turn to John chapter 9. John chapter 19, I'm sorry. And we'll close with that today. And I want you to understand again that we're talking about a prostitute today, but it's really the character at the end of that. When she meets these people that are sent from the Lord, that represents mothers, the protection that they desire for their families. John chapter 19, verse 25. There's different mothers in the Bible. There's different stories that we could tell. But I thought that one really talked about the character of the loving mother that wants protection for her family. And John chapter 19, verse 25 talks about Jesus. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. Now Jesus is hanging on a cross. He's been up there, but he's still communicating. And at this point, Jesus says, "Behold your mother," to the disciple. God has come down and adopted all of us as sons and daughters. And we have different things that we've gone through, different things that we're dealing with in life as parents and as mothers. But Jesus says, "Behold your mother," and has turned that person over to his mother. And likewise, Jesus has turned around and taken all of us in that call on him and adopted us. Today, as we celebrate Mother's Day, take just a minute. If your mother's still living, and I know that there are those mothers that are no longer with us, but take a minute just to reach out to your mother. If you can do it physically, to share a hug with your mother, to share the words, "I love you," that may be very difficult for some due to strained relationships. But take a minute to do this. Like the lady told her father, there's not much time. Now, she meant there's not much physical time to get to church. But at the same time, we don't always have that time that we think we will to repair relationships, to restore relationships, to give thanks to those people that have cared for us, that have protected us. But in the end, Jesus says, "I've given you my mother and I've given you myself." Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, today as we celebrate Mother's Day, what a unique scripture we've had today. But God, the character of a loving and caring mother says, "I want to protect those in my family." And God, we ask you to bless and honor those mothers that want protection over their children and their families. Lord, I ask you to bless these mothers today, those that rejoice and those that mourn today. Lord, that we can celebrate the times with our children that we've had rather than dwelling on a lost time. Lord, that we celebrate your good works and that you give strength and hope to the mothers that are grieving for their wandering children. Lord, bless these mothers today. God, as we read your scriptures and look at different aspects, help us to look at the scriptures with a different eye, with a different meaning than just reading them for what they are. Because God, those are the ways we will see others when we look at them with different eyes and different meaning rather than what they are. The lady in the scripture today was a prostitute, Lord. Those people that we look at walking down the street, driving down the street, in our schools, in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods, may be like her. God, would you allow us to be light and salt to those people that we see like that, and allow us to have a compassionate heart for those that may be lost or wandering, that they may see a spark in us and want to warm up to us and reignite that flame for the Lord. God, as we go out today, just guide our path. Guide our words that we speak to one another. Guide our actions. Lord, that everything we do can be more Christ-like every day. That you give us a passion to want to be Christ-like. God, today as we continue to pray, there are those out there that need prayer today, special prayer, mothers especially if they need prayer for wandering or lost children, God, just for relationship or health of children. Would you raise your hand if you're here today and need that special prayer? Heavenly Father, I ask you to lift up our mothers especially today. Lift them up, give them strength. Lord, that we honor them in everything that they do. In Jesus' name, amen.